Let's start here, the Mishnah on the top of Ayin Vav and Aleph. The Mishnah begins, Kol menachot, to note, Shlosh meot shifa, v'chamesh meot bi'ita. Each mincha requires 300 shifa. So the Rashi says, shifa is meshavshef b'yado, malich mevi b'pisat hayad. Moves it back and forth with the palm of his hand, whereas down below, the Rashi k'tiv yad says, meshavshef achitim ben yadav, that he rolls them between his fingers. That's to loosen the shell on the kernels. And then the bi'ita, he explains as being she bu'et behen b'gabot etzvota b'grafo. He pounds them down with the closed fist. Also, down below, the Rashi Nektiv Yad mentions either bu'et b'ovi agrof, yiterch ha'gavalim, or bo'vi pas yado asamuch l'zoro. So either he pounds it down with his fist, or like this, a palm of his hand, the base of the palm of his hand, he's pounding them down. Now, Lishna Achrina, which seems to make the most sense, is that Bi'ita Beregel, because Bo'et is usually with one's regel, with one's foot. So that would be the other option, is that Shifa is with the hand, and Bi'ita is with the regel. Shifa u'bi'ita bechitim. Rabbi Yossi Omer bebatzik. Tanagama believes that this process of Shifa and Bi'ita is done while they're still in their kernels, while they're still wheat. Rabbi Yossi Omer, that it's done when it's batzik. This is for the dough, to work the dough. All menachot come in units of 10 chalot, except the lech v'panim, which obviously comes, explicitly it says there, 12, and the chavite goen gadol, which has a gzer shava between it and the lechem apanim, shem ba'ot shtem esrei. They come 12, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir Omer, kulam ba'ot shtem esrei. Rabbi Meir believes that we learn out from lechem apanim to everything else. So everything comes as 12, chutz, michalot todah, unizirot, shem ba'ot eser, except for chalot todah, where it's explicitly said that they come 10, and nizirut, which is has a hekesh to the chalot todah, there they'll come 10. So basically the question is, what's the paradigm? We have lechem apanim that has 12, we have lechem todah that have 10. The machlogos between them, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the chalot todah govern, and the lechem apanim and chavite goen gadol are the exception. Whereas, according to Rabbi Meir, it's the lechem apanim that govern, and the exceptions are the chalot todah and the zirut. Tana, shaf achat, bo'et shtayim, shaf shtayim, bo'et shalosh. This is the processing that you're doing. This shifa and bi'ita that's mentioned in the Mishnah, you do it like this. You do one shifa, then two bi'idot, then two shifot, and three bi'idot. If you do that, you're going to end up with this little unit creates three shifot and five bi'idot, which is a ratio of 3 to 5, which in the Mishnah is what you end up with, 300 and 500. So this process, if you repeat it 100 times, will get you the number that the Mishnah requires. So by Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amtuye ve'atuye chad, going back and forth, is that classified as one? So for instance, when you roll it with your hand, or you go between your fingers, is back and forth counted as one? Or Amtuye ve'atuye trey, back and forth considered two, my, what's the din, teku. So this has important implications. It's actually not brought down here, but where most of the Rishonim quote it is the Gabei Lulav. Yushalmi requires by Lulav that you do three Na'anuim. So there in the Gemara Yushalmi, the same question is asked, and everybody quotes this Gemara as a similar type of idea, is that Lamtuye Atuye, is go back and forth classified as one, or is in each direction, if you go out as one and coming back is two? So that's the same question that arises by the Lulav, the shaking of the Lulav, is also brought up over here. Shifa uvita bechitin. Rabbi Yossi Omer bebatzeik ibailhu. Bebatzeik velo bechitin. When Rabbi Yossi says that it goes on the batzeik, does that mean exclusively the batzeik, or does it mean af batzeik, also the batzeik? So is it batzeik not chitim, or the chitim? I agree with you. They do it at the chitim, but they also do it with the batzeik. Tashma detanya. So now we're gonna have a brayta based on the gears that we have. It doesn't really seem to shed much light on it. Which is bechitim, shifa ubiita bechitin. Rabbi Yossi Omer, shifa ubiita bebatzik. The girsa that we have basically is a repetition of the Mishnah. Doesn't really seem to shed much light on it. If you look at the Nusach Achrina in the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah over there, he says shifa bechitin ubiita bebatzik. So then you have the girsa or the alternative girsa that's brought down in the Rashi as well, that it means shifa is bechitin and then biita bebatzik, which mean af b'batzik. And Tosos brings down perish below b'chitim u'b'tosef tegarsin af b'batzik. So Tosos reads it shifa u'v'yata b'batzik meaning exclusively batzeik, but then he quotes a Tosefta that says af bebatzeik. So they obviously this would argue on that Tosefta, whereas the way we have the alternative girsa doesn't necessarily argue. It means that they did it both bechitim and bebatzeik. So we know that Lechem Panim explicitly says that there are 12 chalot. We've seen that Gezer Sheva before, of the word chok, from the Lechem Panim to the Chavite Kohen Gadol, and therefore it also comes from 12. How do we know that the remainder of the menachot come from 10? So the Gemara me lachmei todah. Can learn it out of lachmei todah, where it's explicitly said malahalan eser. Just like by lachmei todah, it's 10 chalot each. Afkan eser. Also over here, it'll be 10 each. But leilef mi lechem apanim. So why do you opt to use the lachmei todah as the paradigm? Why don't you use lechem apanim as the paradigm? It says malahalan shtemisri. Afkan shtemisri, and then you'd have 12. So Mar says mistavra mi lachmei todah veled meilef. Makes more sense to compare them to Malachmei Todah, Amincha, to Malachmei Todah, Shekein. So these are the items that have a common denominator between the Lachmei Todah and a Mincha. Number one is, they're brought by Yechidim. Lachmei Todah and the Menachot are brought by Yechidim. There is no Mincha Ta Tzibur, so except for, of course, the Mincha Ta Omer. V'amitna Dev, they're brought voluntarily. They can both be brought, the Lachmei Todah and the Mincha are brought voluntarily. Shemen, they both have shemen with them. Nifsal, belina, if they're left overnight, they are nifsal, belina, they're both kodshei kodoshim in that sense. I mean, the lachmei todah are kodshim kalim, but they have a din like kodshei kodoshim that they cannot be left overnight. Shelo b'shabbat, they're not doche shabbat. Shelo b'tumah, they're not doche tumah. So you have six items that are common between the lachmei todah and the mincha. So where it says, adarabah, melech mapanim avlein melech. Shelon yad lechem panim, because we have also common alities between the Lechem Apanim and Menachot. Shekei, number one, Hekdesh, they're both Kodshei Kodashim. Now, as opposed to Lachmei Todah, they have a time frame of Kodshei Kodashim, but they still are Kodshim Kalim. Ulivona, they both have a Livona associated with them, which is not true of the Lachmei Todah. Matzah, they're made into Matzot, which is not true of the Lachmei Todah, which have an aspect of Chametz in them. And Etzim, they bind Bifnei Atzman. They come independently. They don't come because of another korban. Lachmei Todah would come of the, because of the quote-unquote shlamim that is brought with the Lachmei Todah. So you have four items that are common between the Lechem HaPanim and the Mincha. Mara's answer is Hanach Nafishan. There's more. There are more commonalities between the Lachmei Todah and the Minachot than there are between the Lechem HaPanim and the Minachot. So Mara says, V'is viralan. If we really believe Davar Malameid if you really believe that something that is learnt through a Gzera Shava can then come and teach through a Binyan Av, this is a discussion we had in Zvachim. If you remember by Zvachim Daf Nun, we had all those different tests in Kodshim. If you have one limud, can you bring in the second limud? Over here, Rashi points out, it may not really be a Minyan Av, but rather a Me Matzinu. But either way, what is that? That's the Chavite Kohen Gadol. The Chavite Kohen Gadol learn out of the Lechem HaPanim through a Gzera Shava to teach you 12. So now you have those 12 from that Gzera Shava, Chavite Kohen Gadol to regular Menachot, then maybe that would be the ability to learn or teach us. That will be the Binyan Av, the paradigm for how many you bring. So if you believe that it can be Chozer Melame Binyan Av, Melech Mechavite Kohen Gadol. Malal and Shtemisri, Avkan Shtemisri, and then you get to 12 instead of 10. So where it says, no, Mistavra Melach Meitov Da, Avilei the Melech. Makes more sense to say that they learn it out of Lachmei Todah because these are the commonalities between the Lachmei Todah and the Mincha. One is Hedjot. They're brought by regular lay people. Two, it comes as a Nedava. Chatzayin, it's brought as a whole, not in pieces. The Figol, they have a din of Pigol. Shalom b'Shabbat v'shalom b'tumah. They're not doche Shabbat, they're not doche Tumah. So these are all true of the Lachmei Todah and a regular Mincha. They are not true of the Minchat Chavite Kohen Gadol. It's brought by the, not by a hedjot, but by the Kohen Gadol. They are not a Nidavah, it's a Chuvah, it's brought every day. Chatzayim, it's brought in pieces, half and half. Doesn't have Pigol because there is no Matir by the Chavite Kohen Gadol because there's no Kometz. So there's no Matir, you can't have Pigol. And it's doche Shabbat and doche Tumah. So Adar Abba, Mechavite Kohen Gadol, Avalei the Melef. Well, no, there's a common denominator between the Chavite Kohen Gadol and regular Menachot. That's what are those? Shekein, Isaron. They come from a single Isaron, as opposed to the Lachmei Todah, which come from 20 Isaron. Klei, a Klisharet, supposed to lach mitudah, and hekdesh, that they are both kodshei kodashim, as opposed to the lachmei todah, which are kodshei kalim. Again, we said the time frames of kodshei kodashim, but they themselves are kodshei kalim. You have livona, which is found both by the minchat chavitei kohen gadol and regular mincha, not by the lachmei todah. They only have shemen. Matzah, they are brought as matzot, not as chametz, which lachmei todah does have chametz. Etzim, they're brought because of themselves, not because of the korban they're attached to. And they require hagasha to the keren maravitru meat. And they also go ishim, they go on the ishim, as opposed to the lachmei todah, which the truma goes to the kohen, and the rest are eaten by the balim. And that's 8 versus 6. Hani nefishan. This time we don't have a good solution. Here it's nefishan. There'd be more, and that means that it really makes more sense to compare it kohen gadol and a regular mincha than there is between a mincha and lachmei todah. So Gemara says hejot mehejot adif leiv. Despite that fact, they'd rather learn out something from a layperson to a layperson, since it's Chavitei Kohen Gadol, it's exactly as it says. It belongs to the Kohen Gadol. It's a unique korban. From that, we don't want to learn. We'd rather learn from something that is common to all. So therefore, we'll learn from lachmei todah to mincha.
So the answer to the Kohen Gadol is the most unique aspect. You know, short enough that it outweighs the fact that there are technically more similarities.
Correct. It's the overarching factor, and therefore it will block us from saying that hani nefishan in this case. Rabbi Meir Omer, Kulan Ba'ot Shtei Mesrei. Now let's think about Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Meir believes there are 12. Micah Sovar, what does he believe? Isvir lay the Davar Lamed, Rigzer Shavah Chosim Lamed, Ben Yenav, Yolif Michavite Kohen Gadol, Dan and Efishan. It's a very simple solution. If he believes that Gzer Shav can then be Chosim Lamed, Ben Yenav, then from Chavite Kohen Gadol he can learn because Han and Efishan, we just said that there's 8 verses 6. It's very easy there to see why he would learn it from Chavite Kohen Gadol. And he doesn't learn that Hedjot is the overarching factor. Israel double made by Xer Shaba Aino Khuzer Malaybi Vinyanav, Yolif Lechem Apanim. He learns out from Lechem Apanim, even though we just saw before that Lechem Apanim had fewer commonalities between it and the Mincha, because Hektesh Mehektesh Adiflay. He says the overarching factor is that they're both Kodshei Kodashim, rather than learning out from Lachmei Todah, which are Kodshei Kalim. So each one of them has a trump card that they pull out. Hejot Hejot will be the trump card for the Chachamim's opinion, and Rabbi Meir's opinion. The trump card is Kodshei Kodashim from Kodshei Kodashim. Alright, Chutz Melach Mei Todah in Yizirot Shein Baut Eser Eser. Lach Mei Todah Behejot Tibuhu. Lach Mei Todah, it's explicitly written that comes 10. Yizirot, how do we know that the Yizirot comes 10-10? Damar Mar, this is a limud that we've seen numerous times, which is Damar Mar Shlamav. When it says Todat Shlamav, when it's talking about Lachmei Todah, the Rabot Shalmei Nazir, it comes to include the Shalmei Nazir, that they also come 10-10, just like the Lachmei Todah, there's a Hekesh B'nehem. Amar Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna, Amar Shmuel, Lachmei Todah Shafan Arba Chalot Yatsa. The Lachmei Todah that are baked as 4 Chalot instead of 40, you're Yotzei. There are 4 different types of Chalot that are brought by the Lachmei Todah. You have the Rikikim, Matzot, the Revucha, and then the Chametz. Each one comes with a series of 10. So then in total, you should have 40. Instead, you made one big loaf for each one of them. Rikikim, Chalot, and then the Revucha and the Chametz. Each one got its own loaf. So then you're Yotze. Mar says, V'abinu and Arbaim. Don't we need 40? Torah says 10. So the mitzvah, that's l'chatchila. V'ha bai frushei truma minayu. But don't you have to take off a truma that goes to the Kohen? 1/10 of it goes to the Kohen. Out of the 40, 4 of those go to the Kohen. 1 from each type goes to the Kohen. So v'chitema demafrish v'kol chad v'chad. What's the big deal? Just pop off a piece from each one of them, you'll give it to the Kohen. Amar echad amar achmada v'lo shlo yitol pros. Wait, we have a pasuk, we have a limud from the pasuk that you can't take a broken piece from them. It has to be a whole. Dafreshinu, the Gemara says, Belisha, that he did it. They separated it out when it was still dough. So the truma, he didn't take truma after they were already baked, and then it's a broken piece. No, it's like you take off the challah in the dough stage, and then he baked them. Now, as Tosos points out over here, that doesn't so work so well, because the lachmei todah only nit kadesh, v'shkidat zevach, and they also have to be baked. They have to have karam panav. They have to be already hardened in the oven. So here you're taking off the dough stage. It's not truma. So in the end, what you have to say, and this is, it makes a lot of sense, is Tosas just says, you separate out a piece that's 1/10, then you bake it, and then you say that piece is truma on the bigger piece that's left behind, the way we do challah. So you separate it out in the dough, and you call that challah, and then you bake it afterwards. So I mean, the same idea here, that he's mafreshet belisha to make it into a whole unit, So now you have basically four big units, and then each one of them have a little piece that's a tenth of it that also be baked separately, and that'll be the truma. So meitave. Kol ha-menachot shiriba b'midat chalatan o shimi'et b'midat chalatan k'sheirelot. Chutz milechem ha-panim v'chati v'itei kohen gadol v'lachem etoda v'nizirot. So all of these items, every one of the menachot that come, if he's riba b'midat chalatan, if he has more than necessary, or mi'et, he has less than necessary, they're all k'sheirot. Now, just to understand that, you can read it in one of two ways. Riba can mean that he has more numerically than he needs, more than the ten. Or riba can mean that he made bigger units, bigger chalot. He made bigger chalot, then he has less than the number. So it's not clear, Rashi brings both interpretations, whether the riba means he did more numerically, or he did bigger size. If he did bigger size, it means less numerically. So now, chutz, with the exceptions to that are lechem apanim and chavitei kohen gadol, lechmei todav nizirut, which are all the ones that are fed explicitly. Remember that lechem apanim has 12 explicitly, chavitei kohen gadol has gzer shava, lechmei todav has 10 explicitly, whereas, and the zirot is a hekesh to it. The problem for Shmuel is that lachmei todar are mentioned over here. Shmuel said lachmei todar, okay, if you just bring four, here it says it is ma'ake. So Mar says, hu da'amar, Shmuel says, ki hai tana. He holds like this other Tanya. The Tanya, kol ha-menachot, shuribah b'midat chalatan, shumayit b'midat chalatan, k'sherot chutz, v'lachem ha-panim, v'chavi tekoin gadol. That they, everything can go up and down in number, it's not ma'ake, except, here the exceptions are only lechem apanim and chavitei kohen gadol. What's missing here in this Tana's position is nizirot and lachmei todah. So that will help the position of Shmuel v'yeshomrim af lachmei todah nizirut. So the second Tana, the yeshomrim, are like the Tana we saw on the bright day, on the bottom of the last amud. So here you have in our machloket tanaim exactly along Shmuel's line and the bright day that we just brought. The Braita who says there are four items where it's ma'akev, that's the Yeshomrim over here. Shmuel who says that lachmei todah are not ma'akev, he'll hold like the Tana Kama in this Braita.
Logically, why aren't you excluding? When you first said the name, you said it seems to make sense. And these are the ones that really have pretty much their name of the or what their specific number is. So you can stand where it's ma'akev. Now you're going to take only some of the ones that have a specific name of the Torah and say those are ma'akev.
Because it's written chok by the lechem apanim and the chavitei kohen gadol, the gzeir shav itself is made from the word chok, and that we've seen before is a ma'akev by the lechem apanim and the chavitei kohen gadol. So that would be the reason that you would say those in particular have to have the right number. Now, Amar Rav Huna, minchat ma'afeh shafa chala achat yatsa. If you take a minchat ma'afeh and you cook it into one big chala, you yotze. Now, by the challah, it says this, by challah, minchat ma'afeh, remember, has two manifestations. It could be a challah or a rakik. Now, he's only saying this by the challah, not the rakik, and we'll see why in a second. My time up. Matzot k'tiv. By the challot, it says, challot matzot, belulot ba, shemen. Matzot there is written chaser. By rikikim, rikike matzot, mishuchim b'shemen, there, the rikikim, the matzot is written malay. So here he says, because matzot is written chaser over there, therefore you can cook it as one matzah. Matzah, the ktiva, is matzah, it's like one matzah versus the kri, which is matzot. My taima, matzot ktiva. My tiflera papa, taima ktiva matzot, chaser, ha ktiva matzot malay lo. V'ha gabe lachme todah, your question, tzvi, by lachme todah, the ktiva matzot, it says matzot malay. Over there he's going to believe that lachme todah, it is ma'akev. What about Shmuel's statement that when you cook the lachmei todah is four, then it's good? Says how you pliga. He argues on him. He doesn't agree. He thinks that the determining factor here is if it's matzot chaser. The only place matzot is written in chaser is by the minchat ma'afeh in the chalot. So that's the only place where you can do it as the number doesn't matter. Otherwise, the number does matter. Now, whether by other menachot it really matters to be the point that it's ma'akev is a good question, because we know again that by lechem apanim and by the chavitei kohen gadol we have a specific number, gzer shava and a chukah. By lachmei todah and by the nizirut we have a specific number, plus you have nizirut, the hekesh between them. So over there maybe he would say, that's why he argues. The remaining menachot, I'm assuming he argues, because there it's written matzot in plural, like for instance, rikike matzot is written with a malay, with a vav in it. So I'm assuming he does argue on all the other menachot as well, because they don't have this matzat written, meaning matzot chaser written, and therefore he'll argue on everything except minchat ma'afeh.
Quoting the source for braisa, but I'm saying Rav Huna knew these braisas.
Right. All right, so you have to say it. I guess you're basing your questions. I think you have to answer, like Shaul suggesting over here, that when it comes to the other menachot, even though it's written matzot malei, nevertheless the mincha ma'afes sets the standard, the paradigm for all menachot, except for the lachmei toda, the lechem panim, the chavite kohen gadol, and the nizirot, that those are specific numbers given by them. So why is it that all the other menachot it's not ma'akev? This is the source for it. Even though by all the other menachot it's written matzot malei, nevertheless, since we have one place where it's written chaser, that gives us a paradigm for all the menachot, and that would solve your question or answer your question as to why they don't bring a bright or a question for the bright, because he's actually supporting the other bright that we had. Right, the next Mishnah. Omer Ayaba Yisaron Mishalosh Sayin. The Omer used to come from one Yisaron out of starting with Shalosh Sayin. Shtei Lechem, Shtei Asunim Mishalosh Sayin. Comes two Yisaron from Shalosh Sayin. Lechem Panim is Esrim Ve'arba Yisronim, Esrim Ve'arba Sayin. So if you go there, the Omer is 3-1 ratio. The Shtei Lechem is a 3-2 ratio. And then the Lechem Panim is a 1-1 ratio. One Sa'ah for every Yisaron that you take out. My timer. What is the reasoning behind this? Since the Omer comes from the new grain, plus it comes out of Sorim, which have more waste, we call it less solid in them. Therefore, you need a 1-3 ratio or a 3-1 ratio in order to get to the Isarun that you want. They have one advantage, which is they come from wheat and not barley. But nevertheless, they're being brought from the new grain, so they have that disadvantage. Therefore, you get shteishronot alto mishlosein. You do the 3-2 ratio. Lechem apanim has both advantages. Esrim ba'arba esronot v'esrim ba'arba sayim. My timer came into mechitin atu. They're being used wheat instead of barley. Umiyashan atu. They're also coming from the older wheat now. They're older kernels. They don't come from the new grains. Yisron mufchar atim isa'ah. You can get an yisron out of a single sa'ah. So the ratios are dependent on the materials being used. And that'll explain each one of these items. Tarabanan, kol ha-menachot shriba mimidat yisronan, o shibi'et bimidat yisronan psulot. So any mincha that you have more or less than the amount you need in the yisaron, meaning in the final number that you're using, they are psulot. Riba mimidat sa'in shalen, o shibi'et bimidat sa'in shalen ksherot. So the starting amount of grain is not ma'akev. That's the preferable number, but it's not ma'akev as long as you get to the end result that you need. But the end result is ma'akev. The fact that you need one Yisroon, two Yisroonim, or 24 Yisroonim, that's the number you need. You got to get to that, and that is ma'akev. So again, the Mishnah's suggestion is a suggestion. That's the best way to do it. That's the way you end up with the outcome you want. But if you don't do it, that's not ma'akev. I mean, if you don't start with the right number, as long as you get to the end result, you're okay. But the end result is ma'akev.
Control on the quality. You know, the rationale given for all the ratios is that that's how you arrive at the ideal quality that you're looking for. Here, if you're using it.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, you know that nothing's going to be perfect. Grains will be different, and so on and so forth. So you might get a little more from one, a little less from the other. It's never going to be perfect. These are all estimations of what the amount is needed to get to the number that you are. So if you're off, you start with 3.5, you might end up with your Yisaron. You might start 2.5, you might end up there also. There's some room for error. I'm assuming that all grains aren't perfectly alike when you go from year to year.
Right.
All right, next Mishnah. Omer ayam menupe, shoshesrei nafa, that you say, sift it with 13 sieves, Shtei lechem b'shtei mesrei. Shtei lechem are done with 12. Lechem panim b'yudalef are done with 11. Shimon ola yelen kitzva. You're setting numbers here. There's no such thing as numbers. El solet nupe kol tzarcha hayamevi. That Rabbi Shimon says basically what we're just mentioning now, which is you got to do what you need to do. If you need to get to the solet, you got to do it as many times until you get to the solet. Doesn't matter 13, 12, 11. Those aren't the numbers are irrelevant. The end result is relevant, and that's because it says shenamar lekach the solet vafito ota acheitim nupe kol tzarcha. Lekach the solet means get solet. How you get the solet? We're not really interested how many sieves that you use to get from beginning to end. We're just interested that you get to the end result called solet. So Tan Rabbanan, how do you do this? You do it bitaka, bigasa, bitaka, bigasa. You alternate the types of sieves that you use. You alternate between a thin and or a fine sieve and gasa, a thick or a coarse sieve. You switch back and forth because you're trying to get rid of two things here. You're trying to get rid of the thicker items, the bran and the shells and all that waste. Plus, you're also trying to get rid of the finest, the very, very fine dust that comes out of there, the fine flour that comes out of there, because the solvent is actually made out of what they call keratin. They're these little granules that are hardened, like sugar. If you think about sugar, when it gets clumps together a little bit. So the solvent is actually found in those keratin. So what you want to do is sift out anything that's not together as a granule like that, and anything that is bigger or smaller than that. So you're using the alternating of the sieves to get rid of everything else and remain with these keratin, which in the end you'll crush, and that'll make your solvent for you. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon Yochai, who's mentioned in our Mishnah, Omer Shloshesre Nafota Yuba Mikdash, Zulam Alam Mizu, Zulam Alam Mizu. They used to have 13 sieves that hung. They were hung one under the other. I mean, it was a single unit that they had. It wasn't that they did alternating and they brought back and forth. They had 13 that came down. Elyona collected subim, tachtona collected solet. The top one collected subim, the coarsest of the items, and the bottom ones collected solet, grabs the solet that you want. So he sounds to me like it's not alternating, but rather it's a sequential. Each one got finer and finer and finer as you went down the rows. Now, whether Rav Shimon Elazar is arguing on his father or not is questionable. Well, Rashi over here brings down, Rashi says, oh, Rav Shimon Elazar is b'shita Rav Shimon his father. Now, I'm not sure that that's the case, and Shita Kumbetz raises the issue and says, why does it have to be that way? It doesn't have to be that way. It could be that he's arguing on his father. That they have two different, his father never mentioned the number 13. His father says, you do as much as you need to do. Shimon Elazar argues in two ways. One is that you have 13, that a specific system set up in the Mikdash, number one. And number two is, he has it done from coarsest to finest, which again his father didn't mention. His father just mentioned, you do what you need to do. Okay, so that's the other possibility, which is that he's just telling you what they had and what they used. You can hold like Rashi here, who says that Rabbi Shimon Omer is that that Rashi comments in the Mishnah that Rabbi Shimon believes that there were 13 on top of each other, just like his son Rabbi Shimon Elazar mentions in the Gemara, and that they're saying the same thing. Rabbi Shimon Omer lo yalein kitzva tan rabbanan solet vafita utam lamed shenikachat solet, that you can purchase it as solet minayin shafilu chitim, I don't know, you can even purchase it while it's wheat. You can buy it, bring whatever you need. You were thinking another menachot, that's the case. Hischun is spelled wrong, it should be spelled with the chav, which is that they don't want to lose money. What does it mean they don't want to lose money? Torah was makpid on the possession of the Jews. How do you know this? The pasuk says, David Biram. It says when they were looking for water and they got water, Hashem provided enough water not only for the people but for their animals as well. So there you see that Hashem was chasam omanam. Hashem cared not only about the people but about their possessions. He gave them enough water so that their animals would survive. Here happens to be one of the places that people quote as a source for Tzar Balei Chaim in the Torah. The Gemara Bava Metzia takes it for granted that Tzar Balei Chaim is d'oraita, that never gives you a source. Some people quote this as the source, which is Shkita Deida Ve'et Biram, that Hashem provided not only for the people, but also for the animals, that shows you that the animals have also a din, where Hashem is going to support them. So what you see here is that there is a difference. We allow you not to bring the Lechem HaPanim from solet. Solet is a processed item. It's very expensive to purchase. So if we said to you, you must buy it as solet every week, it would be a big expenditure for the Mikdash. So over there we say you can bring it from the wheat. You can process it yourself. The Mikdash can do the processing themselves in order to save money. So because of that savings, we allow you to bring it from the chitim. I would think that that's true by other menachot. I would think by other menachot you're allowed to do that. So that's the way we're talking about ota. Ota, only by the Lechem HaPanim do we allow you to do that. But by others, we say buy it as solet, because those aren't large expenditures, number one. And number two is they don't happen all the time. So for that reason, we allow you, or we tell you to buy it solet, instead of allowing you to do the processing yourself. Right, but it's a much smaller quantity. So that's what to look in the Rashi, towards the bottom of Rashi, says, Hutalik Ota min echitin, kidei sheo lechem bezol. We allow you to buy it at the wheat stage so you can bring the lechem at a cheaper price. If you bought it out of the middleman, you were buying solet, you have to pay for the processing fee, it's very expensive. Vein bo tadir. Lahujulik note kim solet. There they tell you, buy it as solet. Start with solet. Don't do the processing yourself. Don't have the mikdash do the processing, because by the lechem apanim, it's just too much money to expand, versus by the menachot, which are smaller units, where it wouldn't be so expensive. The difference between the processed and non-processed is not worth the savings. Okay, we'll stop over here.